Jimmy Bartel, Cats champ, joins us for Essendon Forward. Proud supporters of Face Up to DV the campaign to raise awareness about domestic violence. You can join that discussion at hashtag Face Up to DV or donate at bendigobank.com.au. Morning, Jim.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Oh, good, Jim. Gee, what a nervous one it was for you guys on the weekend. Were you aware of how much time was left?
Yeah, because I'd come to the bench just previously. You know, people on the bench, they yell out, oh, there's 2 minutes, and then there's only a couple of sort of stop plays and throw in. So you knew once they got the kick in, it must have been only about 30 or 40 seconds left, but they whipped it down the other end in about 10 seconds, so we were in a bit of trouble there.
Yeah, I bet the review would have looked at that. It was a kick right up the middle too. So do you practice much those final minute scenarios in games, both in an offensive and defensive style?
Yeah, you do a little bit of prep. You probably do it more towards, you know, this time of year because obviously there's a lot more importance on these games. We'd set up not too bad from probably Jordan Lewis's kick where he tried to kick a barrel out, but Sean Burgoyne, being the classy player, he's read it better off the boot. It was a bit of a miss kick that skewed out to the other way. So a miss kick, but sometimes those chaos balls, they call, can be better for the team attacking.
Jim, where were you standing? Because some players looked as though they thought it had gone through and some players knew straight away that it had missed. Were you
on the bench? Were you at that point?
Were you off to the side? Were you on the bench? Whereabouts were you?
Yeah, I was off near the bench. So, yeah, I was one of those ones who actually thought he'd kicked it because as soon as he kicked it, there was a massive roar. And then I sort of worked out, well, he was kicking to the Geelong cheer squad and Josh Caddy, the big bully, he's had me in a headlock hugging me. So it was pretty tough. And like most people said, no one could catch Harry Taylor, which was rather funny.
Just how much of a relief is it to win that one, just to give yourselves another break to recharge the batteries and put a full preparation into a prelim?
Oh, massive relief. You know, any time you can get a win over the Hawks, you know, everyone knows how great they've been over such a long time. And we've had amazing and intense battles against them. But to get a win, you know, qualifying final and get yourself into a prelim, which is such a brilliant opportunity to get yourself into a grand final.
Is it positive having another week off? You've had a week off, then you've played a game, you've had have another week off. Is it? Would you like more continuity, or is it? Do you think it's the right mix?
Yeah, I think it's the right mix. But I'm a bit old school. I just love to keep playing footy, so I like to play every weekend. So it always feels strange when you don't play. But I guess that's why. To use Andrew Demetrio's old term, that's why they pay the big bucks to the Fizzettas, and they certainly work you pretty hard during the week. So they make sure you don't miss out on getting the K's that they need into your legs.
Good old Fizzettas. Everyone needs them. Hey, Jim, there's been some questions about your role on the team. Did you play a defensive role on Josh Gibson on Friday night? And do you like playing that role? Is it something that you're naturally attuned to?
Well, firstly, yeah, I played on... On Gibbo, he's been a brilliant player for the Hawks, you know, a couple of best and fairest, and he always has a big impact on games, with whether it's coming third up or spoiling or marking the footy as an intercept player. And it was just the role that they thought I suited best out of our sort of the forward group we went in with, just being a little bit bigger body compared to some of our other forwards. And we thought if we could give Tom Hawkins some more just one-on-ones with Frawley, that that'd help. And I play anywhere if it means that the team wins. You know, like I'll do any role that the team wants. I keep putting my hand up to go into the ruck, but they won't let me do that. So, I just find all the noise a bit confusing. Why the fascination? I've been doing my job all year. Sure, you can pick out a game here and there where I wasn't in the best players, but I think a lot of players have years like that as well.
Does it annoy you, given do you feel like, given your standing in the game, what you've done over around 300 games, that you have to sort of like justify yourself?
I don't think I have to justify myself. I think if you look at the year in its entirety, I've been pretty good. You know, if you just pick stats from one or two games, of course you can make them sound however you want. The club and the coaches have been really happy with me, so I'm happy, but I guess it makes a good headline saying that I should be dropped and all that sort of stuff. But that's this time of year. There's not as many games, and you just got to create as many headlines as you can.
Jim, you're part of the Players Association. We're seeing player movement now happening more than ever before. Well, it seems as though it's more than ever before. Jago Mira, been in the system 4 years, walks out on his club, says, I want to go to this club. He'll end up getting to that club. Is that the intention of the Players Association? Is that good for the game?
Oh, I think it's just part of the changing landscape of the game. If a player is happy at the club and the club provides everything they need, and also if the player is part of their plans, you know, both ways, well, then you don't see that much player movement. I think we get really fascinated, and it's still new to us that every time a player wants to leave it, it is big news, but there's still not a huge amount of player movement when you look at the amount of players in the competition. Yeah, I just think players are more aware of the business of football as far as, well, they know where they sit within the club, and I think they know how short their time is in the game, and they try and maximise that.
But how do we appease all the stakeholders, and those being the supporters and the people at Clubland that are investing into someone like a Jake Ramirez, and let's use the Gold Coast as an example. Yeah. They invest into a young kid. They, you know, really bank on him being a big part of their future. You know, they take him as a pre-selection, all that sort of stuff. And then 4 years down the track, he walks out. How do we appease those other stakeholders?
Yeah, that's a really difficult one, Ox. And like, I agree with you that, you know, if you're a supporter, you know, a Gold Coast Suns member or a supporter, you think, well, we've spent 4 years on him. But I guess that's where all your player welfare and your club environment just has to be so strong that a player doesn't want to leave for all those other off-field reasons. You know, they're happy with their mates there. They can see where the club is. They like the brand of the footy, you know, the coaches, or they see opportunities outside of footy. So, yeah, I think it's more than just, you know, the on-field stuff now. Clubs have really got to be in tune with.
Jim, how's this weekend shaping up? What are you going to be doing?
Training, by the looks of it.
No time off.
Yeah, we can't roll down to the pub for a few stubbies and watch the footy, which is unfortunate. training Saturday morning. Great thing down at Deakin Uni now. We've got a MCG-sized oval, so I think we'll be using that for a couple of training sessions. Just obviously the difference between our home oval at Kinnear Park compared to, you know, MCG, it's markedly different, you know, in the width of the ground. So just getting used to defending and attacking on the different shape.
Who do you reckon wins the other games, Jim? Do you think the Doggies get over the Hawks?
Oh, it's a tough one. The Doggies are certainly playing some great footy, but we keep seeing the Hawks, you know, win. I think they won 9 or 10 by under a kick this year. So I'm going to make one fan group upset. We'll say the Hawks by a point. Isaac Smith has a shot and kicks it after the siren.
Good on you, Jim. Good to talk to you. And we'll no doubt be gearing up for a huge prelim with the Cats involved, whatever happens in that one. Thanks for talking to us today.
Thanks, guys.